But God is just good, you know, and he surprises me all the time. Amen. And, you know, the reason why this message this week, you know, several times I had different people asking, so what's going on with the church? What's going on with the land? You know, what's happening? You know, I don't see no movement. What's going on? And and inside of me, I know what's going on. I know the plans, you know. I don't know exactly how God's going to do it, but I know he's going to do it. And then all of a sudden, all these thoughts started coming in. And in the natural, when you look at the piece of land, in the natural, when you look at our bank account, in the natural, amen, you know, if you remain there, fear can begin, amen, to distract the calling that God has placed on my life. Fear can begin if you put your minds on and allow those thoughts. Sometimes negative thoughts can come in, right, and begin to twist the truth of what God has told you. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Right? And it happens so subtly because Satan does it subtly, but your mind, because your mind has to be renewed daily, your mind was not reborn. Remember, only your spirit was reborn, but your mind has, you have to be intentional about your mind, because in this world, there, this world is full of distractions.
Yes.
There's so much negativity. There is fear being instilled in you every day. Just look at the news. Just read the news. Anxiety. There's so much noise around us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. And I want to begin, and we're going to go to Philippians chapter 4, but here the Apostle Paul, he's writing from a prison cell. He is writing from a prison cell, and he's calling us to set our minds on something that is totally different than the world, that is radically different. So I want you to turn to the book of Philippians, and we're going to just read one verse, which is chapter 4, verse 8. Because when these thoughts began to filter my mind, as I began to ponder on the questions that people were asking me about the church, about the land, about the ministry, you know, my mind began to subtly be in fear. Is this even possible? And question the call that God placed on my life. And I was like, oh, no. I am not going there. Mine, you got to subject yourself to the Spirit of God, to the calling that the Lord has placed on my life. You are not allowed to enter. And I did not, and I chose not to entertain it. And then God brought me to this particular verse. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And in Philippians 4:7, that's right. Not today, devil. I am not receiving you. No. You have no part. No part in me. You have no part in anything.
Amen.
Amen. And this is what the Apostle Paul, you know, he gives us in this verse 8. You know, but let me give you a little content, because even in verse in chapter 4, Paul is talking about to the Philippian church. He's talking about we need to rejoice in the Lord always and always again rejoice. Like he's saying, you need to rejoice. Why? Because there's so many things happening in this world that no matter what we're going to, we still need to rejoice in God. And he even says in verse 6, be anxious for nothing. And that's not, you know, the message that I'm giving to today, but it's part of it. But Paul is saying, don't be anxious for nothing. Rejoice in God. Amen. Amen. Yep. Hallelujah. Amen. So Paul in chapter 4, verse 8, he's telling us, and he gives us 8 powerful filters, 8 for our thoughts. He's giving us a checklist, hallelujah, that can help our mental health. And this is what it says. And Paul says, finally, brethren, remember, he's talking to a church. He's trying to lift them up. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, not negative report, of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Meditate on these things. And the Lord brought me to this verse, and he says, meditate on these things.
Amen.
Amen.
Meditate on my word. Meditate on the things that bring life. Meditate on the things that are honest. Meditate on my word. Meditate on the truth of my word. He's telling me, meditate on my promises. Those are good things from God.
Amen.
Amen. Because the reality is, like Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he.
Amen.
So, church, what we think, it begins to shape who we are.
Yes. Amen. That's
and
right.
For so long, I had the wrong self-image of myself. As I began to think of the past, as I grew up with trauma, as I began, hallelujah, take it from childhood to adulthood, I kept pondering on those things that had happened to me, and it began to shape who I was. I became insecure. I even became very depressed at times. Amen.
Yes.
You know, I couldn't find contentment in the Word of God. I couldn't find joy in the Word of God. I couldn't find peace. Hallelujah, in my life, because as I thought, as a man thinks in his heart, as I was thinking these thoughts in my heart, that's what I became.
For you.
Mm-hmm.
I became an insecure individual. And the reality is, our thoughts influence our words. And what was coming out of my mouth was negativity. I was putting myself down, and I put myself down so many times growing up. And it wasn't until I got into the Word of God and I began to learn my true identity of who I am in Him that I began to reshape my thinking and began to ponder and meditate on the good things that God has called me. That I am precious, that I am lovely, that I am special, that I am unique, that I am the King of a king and a priest. Amen. That I am the daughter of the Most High King. That He loves me. That He's well pleased with me. And that totally changed my perception. And it shifted from the way I saw myself and the way other people saw me into the way, no, this is how God sees me.
That's right. Amen.
And it just shifted my thinking.
Yes.
Totally. 180 degree. Hallelujah. And
Amen.
No longer do I put myself now. No longer do I walk in that negative mind thinking.
Right.
I call this stinking thinking.
Yes.
I'm a child of Most High God. I am a daughter of the King. And this is the truth. Our thoughts influence our emotions, our decisions, and ultimately our destiny.
Yes. Yeah, amen.
And this week I saw the purpose and the destiny begin to shift a little bit. I said, wait a minute. No. God gave me a calling. There's purpose. There's purpose in my preparation. There was purpose for me going to school. There is still purpose for me attending Amen. School even now. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a time of preparation for what God is about to bring forth.
Amen.
So I had to shift myself. I said, I am thinking of these lovely things. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
My Lord. And Paul here is giving us some good advice, church. If you read his letters, it is good food for your spirit. It is nourishment.
Amen.
It is healthy food for your soul.
Yes.
Amen. Because our soul is made up of our will, right? Our feelings, our emotions. And that's the part that does not get reborn. Our spirit becomes reborn and it's perfect. Our spirit is perfect, but our thoughts, our will, our emotions, if we don't correct it, if we don't change with the word of God, because you can do it on your own. I'm sorry to tell you, there's no way you can do this on your own. I had to learn through the word of God. I took the word of God and I began to read things about me, what God thinks of me, what God calls me. I was fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
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 Amen. And so are you. Amen.
Yes.
But boy, our thoughts, woof. If they are not pondering on the good things that the word of God is saying, you got to rebuke them, cast them out.
Remove
them from your stinking thinking.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Because again, it's going to influence your words, your character,
and your actions.
Your conduct. Exactly.
Right.
Actions.
Yes.
Actions speak louder than words.
Yes.
So again, Paul isn't giving us some good advice here. He's giving us a checklist, a spiritual guidance, so we can have a healthy soul, because it is our soul that affects everything that we do.
Amen.
Amen. So I want to go through these eight filters. Let's review this eight filters. I call them eight filters of faith, because our walk is by faith. It's not by sight. It's not by how we think. It's not seen by what we look at. No, our walk is by faith. We receive the Lord Jesus by faith. We believe he's the Son of God by faith. We believe he died on the cross by faith. We believe that he resurrected 3 days later by faith. Everything, our life is walked by faith. And without faith, the word says it is impossible to please the Lord. Impossible. So our walk by faith is what who we are and what we do.
Amen.
So Paul here, he in this verse, he lays out a list of virtues, high moral standards, and he breaks them down for us. And he begins here, you know, whatever things are noble. No, he begins by saying whatever things are true, meaning not rumors, not speculations, whatever things are true, not opinions, but truth, things that are upright. God's word is our ultimate standard of truth. So
Amen.
Whatever things are true, whatever things are in this book, in this blueprint of God, in the Bible, in the Holy Scriptures, whatever things are true, the Lord says, meditate on these things. This is why it's so key for a Christian, a believer, to read the Word, to read the Word of God daily, even if it's one sentence. But you can take that word and begin to ponder and meditate on the word, because it is good food for your soul. It is healthy.
Amen.
It's healthy for you. He goes on to say, whatever things are noble, meaning things that are honorable, church, things that honor God, whatever things are dignified and worthy of respect, meditate on these good things. Amen. He's not saying whatever is, you know, he's not saying not gossip. We're not, you know, gossip is the opposite of honor. It's the opposite of respect. Amen. Whatever's noble, whatever's on it, thinks on these things, not gossip, not things that are characterized by deception or fraud. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever, you know, even at work, you know, there's sometimes there's groups of people talking about somebody else, right? Mm. But they're not saying good things. They're not saying noble things. They're not. It's not a healthy conversation, in other words. Amen.
Amen.
And they're just putting things down. And I'm like, yeah, but people can change. Because that's God's job. People change. Amen. And we're going to be surprised when we get to heaven. We're going to be surprised of people that we thought will never make it to heaven. You're going to be surprised because...
And see people that...
Amen. Amen. Am I right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So Paul is saying meditate on what honors God. Meditate on things that pleases God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, we can gossip about people as long as it's good things that we're talking about. And did you see he or she did such a great deed the other day? Oh my God, they blessed this person or they blessed this community or they blessed this group or whatever. Amen.
Good gossip.
Amen. Things that honor Amen. God. Things that please God. Things that are not characterized as fraud. Have you ever spoken to a person who's fake, who's not transparent? Like sometimes God will tell you, you know, he gives us discernment. And sometimes you're talking to people and I'm saying to myself, dude, like, no.
Yeah.
Like, no. Yeah. You just lying right now through my face. And within me, I'm not going to call it out. I'm saying, I'm not receiving that. Sorry. That's not what the word tells me. I'm not receiving it. If the word doesn't tell me that, it's not for me. I'm not receiving it. And I'm not receiving it for another person either. Amen? Because God loves everybody.
That's right.
God loves the thief.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And God loves the rapist. God loves everybody. He gave his life for all. He didn't put a category on people. He gave his life for all. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so many times we separate and we categorize people. But the reality is we need to pray for those people. We need to pray for the families that were affected by people that did harm to them. The Bible says to pray for all things. Right? And pray without ceasing. But in, you know, I mean, that's just, I mean, I read this earlier, but he says, you know, in verse 8, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. In everything by prayer and supplication. So he wants us to pray for things. He wants us to pray for people. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Filter number three says whatever is right. Right? This is Paul speaking here. Filter number three, whatever is right, whatever is just. Same word. Whatever is just in the eyes of God. Not just what feels right in the moment. Amen.
Right.
But what is
right.
just in the eyes of God? Because see, you may feel like you may feel and think that you're doing something right, but in reality, it's not right in the eyes of God.
Amen.
Even with sin, even when you're tempted with sin, sometimes we're tempted with sin, and sometimes kind of we follow through that sin and said, nobody's going to see it. Nobody's going to know about it. But is it right in the eyes of God? It may feel right for you at that moment, but is it right? Is it pleasing to the eye of God?
Amen. Right.
Is it just? Is it right? Amen. I mean, Paul's giving us some great filters here. Great filters that we can all relate to. Amen. He goes on to say, whatever things are pure.
Yeah.
And what he's saying, what, you know, your thoughts have to be free from corruption. Whatever things are pure. Are your thoughts pure or are your thoughts corrupted? And what this verse is, what these few words are saying, this is a call to holiness in a culture that is filled with compromises.
Yep, sadly true.
Right? Sometimes, thank God that we're not this church, sometimes we compromise the word of God. Sometimes we believe that a little white lie is nothing, but a lie is a lie. And it's sin.
Yep.
So whatever is pure, we need to meditate on those things. We cannot compromise. The word of God says, be holy for I am holy. So if the Lord is calling us to holiness, that means that it's possible to walk in holiness.
Amen.
And it's also possible not to walk in holiness, right? So this is what Paul is saying. Whatever things are pure, meditate on these things. Don't allow your mind to be filtered with corruption. Don't allow your mind to have opinions or be influenced by other people's opinionated minds or corrupted minds. Amen. Because listen, again, God has given us the spirit of discernment. We can discern what's right and what's wrong. We can discern what is pure and what is not pure. We can discern what is corruption and what is clean. Amen. God has given us that. And discernment is huge. This is something that we need to pray for more and more. God, I ask you for the spirit of discernment. Should be in your prayer life every day. Amen. So God is calling us to holiness. Be holy, for I am holy. And we as a church, as individuals, as Christians, as believers, we can walk in holiness because we can say no to Satan, not today and not tomorrow. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We can say no to temptation. You know, you'll be tempted. Jesus was tempted, but he didn't follow through. We can be tempted, but we don't need to follow through. We can remain pure. In the eyes of God. Holy in the eyes of God. Amen?
Yes.
My Lord. Filter number 5. Whatever is lovely, right? Whatever things are lovely, says the word. And what he's speaking about, you know, what are the things that stir the love of God? He's not talking about hatred, right? Hatred is the opposite of love. So that which stirs love is something that is lovely, that is beautiful, right? Talking about beauty, talking about kindness, compassion, whatever things are compassionate, whatever things you see as beauty. Let me tell you, when I look at the ocean, I see the beauty of God in that ocean.
Mm-hmm.
I see something that God created that is lovely, that is speaking volumes of love. My Lord, how that those waves, that sound of the waves is just so peaceful. Amen. So whatever thing stirs love within you remain in that. I don't know about you, but when we look at our children and grandchildren, there's got to be a stirring of love that is happening within us. Amen. You just, especially our grandchildren, you just want to run and you want to hug them. Amen. And these are things that stirring love in us. You just want to embrace them. You just want to say when they're down, because maybe they didn't make a team. Amen. Or maybe they missed the hoop or they missed the serve or whatever it is. You just got to go to them and say, you can do it. You can still do it. Don't give up. Just keep going, because you're going to get better and better and better. And these are things that stir love. Amen. In our grandchildren, in our family, or even with a coworker, or even with a friend, or even with a sister or brother, you know, they may be down for whatever reason, and you're there, you call them, you text and say, it's going to be all right. You're going to do better next time. You got this. Amen. You know, throughout my 7 years of school, all I kept getting was messages. You got this. You can do this. You know, the finish line is right there. You know, don't sweat it. You got this. In Christ, you can do it all, you know. And just, it was, everything was just lovely. Every time I got these text messages or phone calls or just, you know, just people in front of me saying, oh, you got this, girl. You got this. So even the Lord saying, I'm with you. I'm with you. What are you worried about? I'm with you. I'm going to establish your thoughts. I'm with you. I'm establishing your thoughts. I'm giving you wisdom for those papers. I'm with you. And I had to commit my works to the Lord so he could establish my plan. Time and time again, because again, God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Another one, whatever things are of good report. That means whatever is at admirable, right? Whatever is commendable, whatever worthy of imitation. You want to imitate somebody, imitate somebody that is doing good, that you can see the fruit of the Spirit in them.
Amen.
That they're doing things that are honorable, commendable. Amen. For their family, for themselves. Amen. For the community, for the church, whatever it is. Amen. Hallelujah. Anything that is good report, meditate on these things. And when Paul is saying meditate, I truly believe, hey, listen, there's a lot of good charities are there, amen, doing good things, you know, giving good reports. So I think, okay, what can we do, you know, to do something that is worthy, hallelujah, of imitating, worthy, and something that we can give praise and that it glorifies God through it. That's what he's talking about. Think on these things. A lot of people nowadays, they have dreams, they have goals, and they're just sitting on those dreams and goals. But whatever it is that God has placed in you, if it's worthy, hallelujah, of doing it, if it brings glory to God, go for it. Go for it. Go after your dream. Go after your goal. God will meet you where you are. When you take that first step of faith, God is going to meet you. God will open doors. But we got to begin. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the word of God is saying, just ponder on these things that are really good. Anything that brings me glory, it's good, says the Lord. It is good. And Paul continues on and to say, and if there is any virtue, if there's anything that is excellent in it, do it. Ponder on it. Praise me for it. Amen. Meditate on those things that are excellent. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know, we want to have and we have a ministry of excellence, and we want to pursue and continue to pursue excellence.
Amen.
in our ministry. Amen. Especially when it comes to people, especially when we open the sanctuary doors. Amen. We want to pursue. And right now I'm meditating on things that are good, that are healthy. So when people began this week to ask me about the church, and I began to just meditate on the call, meditate on the town, meditate on the people, and see the people entering through doors, see the people being saved by the word, seeing people healed by the word, seeing people just restored. Hallelujah. And their mindset from hopelessness to hope, being transformed, being changed by the power of God. Amen. I began to ponder on the excellence of God and why he's called this ministry to be a beacon of light. Amen. Because this town and Shirley, it needs a beacon of light. It needs, hallelujah, hope. It needs change. It needs transformation. Amen. So I began to ponder and meditate. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And I began to see visually in the spirit everything that I wanted to see. Everything that I wanted to be fulfilled. Because the word of God says, you know, when you think on these things and whatever we ask of the Lord, he's going to bring it to pass. So I'm asking, and we're praying. We come every Wednesday and we pray for the neighborhood. We pray for the people. We pray for open doors. Amen. We pray for the Beacon of Light Church that God has placed in Shirley. We pray for that ground that he consecrated and he water baptized already. Amen. And I ponder on these things. Hallelujah. And these things are good. And these things, the next one says, are they praiseworthy? Is there anything praiseworthy? Absolutely. A church in the Shirley community, a Beacon of Light church in the Shirley community is praiseworthy. Amen. It's where people are going to gather together, fellowship, hear the word of God, be saved, hallelujah, healed, delivered, and restored. Amen? Yes, it's praiseworthy. Yes, it brings honor to God. God called us to purchase. God called us to that land. God has given me a vision. Amen? Hallelujah. And it will come to pass. I don't know exactly how God's going to do it, but I know without a shadow of doubt that he will do it, and he's going to do it through us. Amen? Amen. Because it is the power of God that is working through us. Santo. Amen? Yes. Money's not just going to flow from the clouds and fall on that ground. It's through the power that works through us. It is us. It is people that God is going to use. It is laborers. The town, favor with the town, divine appointments. God is the one. God is the one. But in our prayer, when we get together Wednesday, we call those things that are not as if they are. I'm calling down heaven. Amen. I'm calling things down right now as I want them to be. And I'm speaking life into the atmosphere of the Shirley town and surrounding neighborhoods. Amen. So whatever things are worthy, hallelujah, that have virtue, that are praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And that's what I began to do. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the challenge here is that we our minds, my Lord, we need to raise the bar right now and be in the word of God and be filtered by the word of God. Because if not, our minds are going to begin to think some things that are opposite of what Paul is dictating here in this verse. Amen. Hallelujah. And Paul in another, you know, it says here when he begins whatever things in other Bible translations, it says whatsoever. So here he's using in New King James, he's saying whatever, but in other translations, he uses whatsoever. And some Christians, in reality, they think that this verse can only be fulfilled by thinking on church things or thinking on religious things. But Paul, when he uses the word whatsoever, like in the King James Version, right, it falls into these eight categories. And our attention that is focused on this is not just on the church, it's not just on the spiritual things, but it's on the natural things as well. Because it's not only thinking about the spiritual truth that are in these words, in this verse 8, and we know that's important, but we also need to discern that it's talking about the natural truth. Truth from lies, you know, amen. You have to discern what is a natural truth from a lie. So it's not just about the spiritual things, amen. He's talking about the natural things as well. Okay. That we gotta think some, we gotta think our minds on both spiritual things as well as natural things. But we gotta think on the things that are true, noble, lovely, pure, just, excellent, praiseworthy. Amen?
Amen.
You know, just like our lives are not categorized, right? Our life is not categorized. You don't just say I'm spiritual or I'm secular, because the reality is we work in a secular job. The reality is we praise our God who is spiritual. Amen. We live in a spiritual, we are human beings living in a spiritual, we are spiritual beings living in a human body. Amen. So truth is truth, whether we are at church or at home, whether spiritual truth or natural truth, truth is still truth. Amen. And Paul is saying we need to think and deal justly, whether we are with Christian brothers and sisters or whether we are with the public, with other people, like co-workers who are not saved, who are not believers. So whichever it is, whether it's one or both, doesn't matter. Amen. Because, you know, if you're at church, you're at church, you're with other like-minded believers, but when you're at work, you could have a mix. You could have Christians and unbelievers at work. Amen. So what Paul is saying, we should keep our eyes stayed on the good things that God has given us in the natural, amen, as well as the spiritual. Amen. And when we think about the natural life that we have, we gotta think about our families. That's natural. Amen. We got to think about our health. That's natural. We got to think about our work. Amen. So he's not just saying, don't just focus on the church things, on the religious things. You need to also find truth and find things that are lovely and pure in the natural things as well. Amen. Because we are a people, but we don't just live, amen, with other Christians. There's also family members that are still not saved, that haven't come to the knowledge of Christ, amen. There's co-workers, amen. There's strangers in the stores, amen. But whatever the case may be, we need to think and ponder and meditate on good things, whether they're natural or whether they're spiritual, still think on them, amen. Things that are good, things that bring praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. So in the same way, we think about our righteousness in Christ Jesus. We think about God, the justification, the consecration from the Lord, the forgiveness that God has bestowed upon us. He's forgiven us. Hallelujah. And all these other things that God has done for us. Amen. Just the same way we ponder on those things that God has so graciously given us, his grace, his compassion, also ponder and extend that to others. Amen. In the natural. Amen. Edify people, encourage people, support people, forgive quickly. Amen. Hallelujah. Do right in front of people, whether they're Christians or not. We still got to do the right thing, because who's watching? The Lord is watching. The Lord is with us every step of the way. He's right there. He sees everything that we do. Amen. Nothing is hidden from God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, this is good word, church. This is good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And the reality is, when we focus on the good in every area of our lives, which is what Paul is telling us to do, right? And what Paul is actually, what he's doing here is he's actually advocating for us to walk in these things, to meditate on these things. And it's so good, because it's, again, it's good for us. Amen. God is teaching us through Paul, through his letters. God teaches us. And when I read Paul's letters, I'm reading what God shared with Paul, that he should share with that church, and he's sharing with this church today. And when we fail to recognize God's blessing in everyday living, it can cause us to become anxious. Amen. When we fail to recognize the good things that God has done for us, it can cause us to bring us into some anxiety and stress. This is why it's so important to just meditate on the good things of God. Because no matter what we go through, church, it doesn't change the nature of God. God is still good.
Amen.
He doesn't cause bad things to happen. People cause bad things to happen. Yes. He doesn't cause bad things to happen. The enemy can bring about bad things to happen. Amen. It reminds me of the word where it says, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against other principalities in dark places, right? It is the enemy that oppresses people, and people come against you. But the word says, Jesus said, if they come against me, they persecute me. They're going to persecute you because you serve me.
Right.
So, you know, listen, it's expected. But hello, the Lord is with you. I'm with you wherever you go, says the Lord, right? So we got to begin to recognize God's hand and even in the smallest things. Because when we recognize the hand of God, even in the smallest things, church, it will cause peace in you to arise. And will keep our hearts and our minds following hard after the Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to follow hard after God. My heart wants to follow hard after God. My mind needs to be on these things. Amen. Following good things after my God. Amen. So this isn't just passive. No, Paul is saying, think about such things and be intentional about them. Church, we need to be intentional with the word of God. We really, really do. And it's not just a Sunday thing. It's not just a weekly thing. It has to be an ongoing. We have to intentionally, daily reflect on the word of God. God is calling us to meditate on these things. And I want to, you know, ask yourself, what am I filling my mind with? Ask yourself that question. What do I watch? What do I read? What do I listen to? What do I talk about? Are my thoughts marked by anxiety and fear? Or are my thoughts marked by the truth and hope? So Paul is calling us to discipline our minds on these things and to guard your mental gate. What is being filtered through your mental gate? Mm-hmm. Paul is saying, yeah, feed your mind with the things of God, and peace will follow.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Fill your mind with the things of God, and the peace of God will follow.
Yes, hallelujah.
And if you just follow the guidelines of this verse, you will be strong in faith. I guarantee you, when you follow the guidelines that are right here that we read a few minutes ago in this verse, I'm telling you, your faith will become stronger.
Amen.
Your unbelief will begin to decrease. And you will not be subject to depression. We come against that spirit of depression in the name of Jesus. You will not be subject to depression if you keep your mind and you keep the guidelines on these words right here. And you will feel that you are even more blessed in every respect. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because again, church, Satan gains access to us through the way we think. So we have to watch, what are we thinking about? What are we pondering about? In the book of Isaiah 26:3, I'm beginning to really love this verse, but it says that you will have perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Isaiah 26:3. It says, we will have perfect peace when our minds are stayed on the Lord.
6:3.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'm beginning, and I'm taking that verse and I'm saying, I have perfect peace when my mind is stayed on you, God. And I begin just to declare, and I personalize verses from scripture. So if we all would think, you know, this way, and think on the good things, amen, listed in this verse, then we can all get the positive results that you so wish you had. Amen. And what does positive results do? It produces good fruit. It produces good things. But we need to meditate and ponder on these things that Paul just told us. Amen. And I want you to see something that was really enlightening for me. Amen. Remember, we read from verse 8. Mm-hmm. But look at the context in verse 7. Same chapter.
Okay.
Look at what it says. After he says, rejoice in the Lord in verse 4. And then he says, you know, and then in verse 5, be anxious for nothing. Look at what verse 7 says. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Right? We're talking about the mind today through Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
That's verse 7. But now go to verse 9.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Look at verse 9. The things which you learned. I mean, we just learned from the word of God. The things which you learned and received. I hope you received every word from these verses. And heard and saw in me, Paul speaking about him. You know, we heard it from this letter of Paul. Remember, Paul is speaking to the congregation in Philippi, but now the Lord is speaking to us through his letter. And the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. And the God of peace will be with you. God gives us peace. God gives you peace. But we need to learn to hold on to it. You don't want to lose your peace in the next hour or the next day or after you close out this Zoom meeting. Amen. Right. No. So to prevent that from happening, the Word of God, this blueprint right here, is telling us today to dwell on whatever is true. Dwell and fix your eyes and minds on what's honorable, on what's just, on what's pure, on what's lovely. Amen. What is commendable. And then it says, and in addition, if there's any moral excellence, and if there's anything that is praiseworthy, meaning that it glorifies God, hallelujah,
amen.
We need, as the body of Christ, as believers, as sons and daughters of God, we need to focus our attention on those things. Because when our minds dwell and they are fixed on the right things, God's peace becomes not just a promise, but a presence. Presence.
Amen. That's what we want.
And a presence remains. It doesn't go away.
Yeah.
Amen. Just like the word says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, hallelujah, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus in verse 7. And in verse 9, it says, and the God of peace will be with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ponder, church, on these things.
Yes.